You're listening to WP Product Talk, presented by the WP Minute. WP Product Talk is a weekly discussion between two WordPress product experts, Kim Coleman from Paid Memberships Pro and Matt Cromwell from Stellar WP. Join them live each week on Twitter Spaces for Q&A or stay subscribed here to the feed that brings you your favorite 5 minutes of WordPress news every Wednesday. You can support us by visiting the WPMinute.com/support. Here we go with Kim and Matt on WP Product Talk.
We are WP Product Talk, and this is now episode 8 of 8 that we planned in advance. And we are bringing last but not least Richard Tabor here today. If you all have questions or thoughts or opinions or whatnot about what we're talking about today in any way whatsoever, tweet us. That's the best way to get our attention and use the hashtag WP Product Talk. You can also just reply basically straight in this Twitter space and we'll see that as well. But I'm watching that hashtag WP Product Talk. So use that if you can. I don't know. Maybe hashtags are old school. I'm not sure. I just keep using them. See what happens. But we'll pay attention. And we'll try to get your questions answered as much as we can. Also want to give a big shout out to the WP Minute. They have been distributing all of our Twitter space recordings over all the fun platforms, podcasting platforms for quite a while. Matt Medeiros is doing cool work over there, honestly. And I like supporting the work that they do over there. If you want to hear this later, and you can look us up on the WP Minute, WP Product Talk. But for now, we're going to go around the horn and introduce ourselves. I am Matt Cromwell. I'm one of the co-founders of GiveWP, now doing marketing and operations and support stuff at Stellar WP. I'm really passionate about the freemium business model and helping small businesses succeed with WordPress plugins. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this talk regularly. And one of the people who I always enjoy talking with, I invited her to be our co-host, Kimberly Coleman. Introduce yourself.
Thanks so much, Matt. Yep, I'm Kim Coleman. I've been building a WordPress membership plugin, Paid Memberships Pro, for over 12 years now. And just really been a long-term member of the WordPress community. Love the platform, love open source. So I'm excited if this is helping other product creators in the WordPress space at all learn from our less the job well done. So Rich, I'll hand it to you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Yeah, I'm Rich Tabor. I've founded a couple of WordPress products over the years, I guess notably Coblox and Pingbeans, and went to GoDaddy for a couple of years leading the WordPress experience team. And currently I'm the head of product addict. I'm all about WordPress and especially this new era of WordPress experience that we're in. That's all about blocks and block themes and the site editor and full site editing. So it's my jam and it's a pleasure to be here today.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here. And that brings us to our topic, all things full site editing. We've said this in a couple different ways. I think kind of the pain point that Kim really helped identify is the way WordPress has been evolving over the last few years with Gutenberg and now full site editing. It brings new challenges to being a plugin owner and somebody who's trying to extend what the Gutenberg code base can do in WordPress. And is it problematic? Is it a huge, giant, awesome opportunity? It changes things up quite a lot. We want to talk about all those types of things. And if you don't follow Rich on Twitter, you should, because he tweets about this kind of stuff all the time. And every time that he does, I find it really fruitful, beneficial, helpful, educational. It's good stuff. So I'm really glad you're here, because I'm not going to talk a lot, because I literally have not yet built one website with full site editing. I have dug into it, of course, but I haven't got my head around all of it yet. But the way we're going to kick off first is we want to just talk about why this is so important. And I've touched on that a little bit. If you're a product developer in any way, shape, or form, whether it be plugins or themes or services, then you are wrestling now with what the full site editing means for you and your product and your business long term. And that's why I think this is so important. Rich, what's your take? Why is this subject so important for?
Yeah, you know, when we look at all the efforts that have gone into this new era of WordPress, it's very clear that this is the future of WordPress. And this, you know, presents a shift in the experience that I don't know that there's been anything so drastic in WordPress in general. You know, custom post types made a huge difference in the way that we build sites, but full site editing and the site editor in general are changing the entire dynamic of the site. Like we're shifting from, you know, index.php type based templates and designs to things that are built within blocks now. Like we have patterns and templates, parts and headers and footers, everything that's blocks. And this shift is monumental as WordPress as a whole to the next stage of becoming more of a site design tool and a site tool to express personality and less of a tool that's kind of configured and stuck. So I think that this is just the future of WordPress and where we're headed.
It's super interesting to hear that from you, Rich, and inspiring because I do see you as a person who's motivated, advocated for, and been a really early adopter of these changes in WordPress that bring more editing features to our user base. I feel like the old guard in this conversation. I don't want to feel pitted against you in it, but I do feel like there's aspects of this change and where things are going. And it can be scary for me as a plugin author to watch this happen and just be concerned that we're giving people functionality to design their websites and do more with them in a visual way. But as a plugin author that's building basically a platform, you know, we want people to be able to build sustainable businesses and create their content and work on things that create value for them. And I often see people using design as like a crutch or something they focus too heavily on rather than what needs to be really done in their business. So it's interesting for me to watch that. I feel like you're totally right. Plugins have helped WordPress grow out of just being used as blogs. And I think site editors is going to help it also in a similar way, that monumental change. So I'm watching and I'm taking it really slowly, but it's super critical right now for a plugin author to be watching.
Totally agree. One thing, a bit more clarity on this, Rich, I want to get your take on. I think one thing that's a little strange for folks is understanding the relationship between full site editing and a WordPress theme. And especially if you're a theme author, if your business is built on themes, can you speak into that a little bit? Like, how do you see full site editing really impacting themes?
Yeah, themes, you know, now are very different. Their block themes are a sum of all parts. It's header parts, it's footer parts, all the patterns that include into it and the styles. And the full site editing experience, which you can navigate from the site editor, puts all of those pieces on the page for you to manipulate, for better or worse. You know, I think right now, and kind of to speak to what you were saying, Kim, we're providing a lot of design tooling and trying to figure out like, what do we need to put there? And then I think the next level is taking that experience and refining it and cleaning it up and removing some of the complications so that it is perhaps more difficult to break, but also more easier to personalize. So the full site editing and theme kind of are, I would kind of consider those efforts almost one. Themes drives that entire effort. If you don't have a block theme, you don't see the site editor at all right now. So like that's kind of the line that's drawn in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, my first impression was really fully formed when I tested out 2023, that of course is like intended to showcase full site editing a bit, and the whole way that they support multiple different styles or whatnot was interesting. And just because I know how old school themes are built and things like that, and how they use the customizer and those things, I was immediately drawn to, like, I wonder where 2023 stops and full site editing as a feature starts here. Like I think that's a little bit of that area where I'm like, it almost feels like 2023 is probably not really a whole ton of code. I didn't even look at how much code it is, but it doesn't seem like it has a lot of opinions about what you do with your site. It's letting the feature, the full site editing feature, really take over a lot more. Is that about right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think you're right on it. You know, if you did look at the 2023 style sheet, you'll see that there are no selectors in there. It's just the header of the style sheet. And this kind of, you know, we're moving towards a system that's more JSON driven. So you have styles that can be abstracted from the theme perhaps and used in plugins even. So it's creating this system where the theme decides some of the presets, like on way you see things, the way things feel, but you can go in and change and add to that starting point, instead of where previously themes were very much like, this is your site. Like this is the way that your site's going to look. Maybe you can change some colors and some themes kind of flexed a little bit more in the customizer to change specific things, but they were tied to how that theme worked. Theme.json and the way block themes were tracked all of that from that. So that in the future, I would say that these could even get smaller. Maybe it's just a JSON file that includes what styles are available, what patterns are available, what headers and footers are available. And you can configure your site from one file, perhaps.
Yeah. I think some of the hesitancy or anxiousness around some of that is the idea of like an end user jumping into 2023 and building out their whole site and feeling like they have success within a short amount of time. Like, I do feel like it puts so much more onus on that, on the ability to build out the whole site. Or am I off base there?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some value to that. I would say where core is being more general right now, it leads to a lot of opportunities for folks to come in and build experiences and to create that better, either, you know, better right out of the box WordPress experience or better client agency, client developer type relationship experience within WordPress. Like, there's avenues that are kind of wide open, I would think, to lean into those. But things are also moving incredibly fast. Like, the innovation is so incredible right now. Like, it's blowing my mind. It's hard for me to keep up, and I'm in it, you know, knee deep every day. But yeah,
that's interesting. It sounds like we came full circle, because now we're back. Yeah, you're basically saying, like, yeah, you're right. What WordPress core and the site editor is providing now is very minimalist, even, which presents a whole bunch of opportunity for product devs to really shine and have a lot more catered experience for those end users. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room out there.
Cool. Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. I recently had a plugin I added some patterns to, and I was shocked with how straightforward it was to create them and how much I could build into my plugin that was design focused. There were templates for things that I wouldn't have been able to submit to the pattern directory because they did use plugin functionality within them, but it really straightforward as a product to create those. And it's something I want to explore more. And I do, like you said, Rich, I see that as a huge opportunity for products to come on board and have a more opinionated design that people can drop in and readily use, but still be able to customize in a familiar interface.
Nice. Okay, cool. So let's jump into our next segment, which we typically call story time. The three of us have some different experiences with the way that WordPress is evolving and changing, and we want to hear a little bit from each other about those experiences and what that might teach other folks about this subject. So I'm going to go a little bit out of order. Kim, I'd love to hear your take first. What kind of experiences do you have with this?
Oh, for sure. So for us, we were slower to jump on board with block development when we're talking back when the block editor, then called Gutenberg, was coming on board. I think maybe even a year and a half, 2 years, till we felt that the core code base was stable enough, not changing so much that we would be, you know, coding for a moving target, which was a fear we had because we're still supporting and maintaining the plugin, releasing features that we want. And, you know, when we're watching WordPress as a plugin product shop, you're watching the direction of WordPress. You want to be able to, you know, be on par with the features your users are requesting and needing. But how soon do you jump into that? How soon do you decide, oh, this was like opt-in and everyone was still installing Classic Press and disabling this feature. So we really took a slower, a more, you know, wait, watch this get more stable. And then when we did double down, and it was really fun to rebuild some of our functionality into a block format. We still offer a short code version, but that was kind of our first step, was adapting what was a short code into a block. And we found it pretty easy to do with the way that the block editor, and there's a great handbook out there to leverage from. And there's still different approaches for how people create their blocks, but that was kind of the first step into it. Right now, my negative story time is related to site editing and menus, which are very different from how we've seen menus with WordPress for many years created in the admin. We have an add-on that allows people to swap which menu is shown based on what membership level the user who's accessing your site has. So you could build a menu more specific to a pre-sales, acquiring a member, and then for people that are logged into a membership, give them a more specific menu without those sales links, without maybe a link to your pricing page. Again, that's not necessary for them, and create a better user experience. It's tricky with site editor, with the way that headers and menus work, but we're actively working on it. And, you know, I think as a product shop, you might have to get a little vocal and more involved in core development to say, like, this is a feature. This is an important feature, and the direction you're taking with menus, you know, disables our ability to do this. What can we do? Can we have a hook somewhere, please? Can we have a filter somewhere, please? And we see those things kind of getting moved into JavaScript, moved into changing in other ways. So that's my kind of story time. been fun to get on board with block editing. But then when we face challenges like this, you know, we don't know what to do. We tell people to install like and use menus in a classic way, which isn't always the right answer. But we're all in flux. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, our story is very, very similar in the sense that when Gutenberg was getting launched for the first time, we were like, oh man, now we've got to be like maintaining multiple code bases for the same feature, meaning like widgets and also blocks and short codes and also blocks. But at least since then, it's also gotten even more complicated because you also want to have compatibility with things like Elementor or with Beaver Builder or Divi, and they all have their own form of blocks and widgets and modules and whatnot as well. And all of that has gotten a bit more complex. In some ways, it does, to me, still feel like short codes are the easiest one to port across all of those places, but they're definitely not user-friendly at all. Blocks are way more user-friendly than short codes are. So along the way, we've struggled with all that stuff as well, and also essentially trying to say, oh, well, everything that we build still has to work well with TinyMCE, the old classic editor as well. And all that has been challenging. But in many ways, we also are recognizing like if we can say definitively that generally speaking, given the add-ons are compatible only with 5.0, WordPress 5.0 and higher, then we can kind of stop catering towards the older code and stop worrying as much about the old legacy of methods and start focusing more and more on the new methods. And what we have started doing now is building out a brand new donation form builder. I've mentioned it on the show a couple of times, but we're calling it Next Gen Donation Form Builder. And it is built on top of the Gutenberg framework. It will operate a lot like the block editor, but it is not the block editor. It's basically the bones of Gutenberg itself that we're leveraging for the architecture in order for us to be able to build a lot faster, like being able to drag and drop stuff between spaces. Like we don't have to build that out. That's all built into Gutenberg already for us. All of the navigator and the sidebar and all that stuff is all already there. We just get to pull it in and use it the way we want to use it. But the actual editor itself, we get to customize it the way we want to. And that is similar to what Kim was saying earlier. Early on in the Gutenberg phase, it was like coding for a moving target. Now, Gutenberg has gotten a lot more stable and been around a lot longer, battle tested a lot more, and we're able to see how robust it really is in its inner parts and building on top of it. The one thing I will say, though, that currently we have, I think, two and a half or three full-time devs working on this new editor. And it is taking quite a while. We are using it in order to get to market a lot quicker, but the end result is still a very large endeavor. And it's not at all like kind of like old, I think Kim, you said old guard, and I feel like old guard too. Like old guard ways is like build out a custom post type, add a bunch of meta fields to it. When they hit publish, make sure it renders correctly on the front end. Like doing that kind of route is relatively straightforward, but building out your own way of integrating with Gutenberg is a lot more complex than the old one.
I want to let Rich story time also, but just to extend what you said, Matt, the users will live now in almost two UIs, you know, and that's a consideration that a person whose users are often going to be in the admin managing their membership site. I think what you're doing, Matt, is great because you're adopting a UI they'll be familiar with site editor, with block editor, with the tools that they're using, even though it might not exactly match one-to-one, you're leveraging it because teaching someone how to use WordPress in the admin wasn't something we ever had to do because it was a part of their workflow already. Getting to that point, getting to the point of having published a post gave them a familiar interface. I think with site editor, people will be more unfamiliar with the admin area of WordPress, and I'm curious how that's going to change our need to kind of train that aspect of managing the admin of a WordPress site, or that we have to adopt the similar UI. So I'll stop complaining, and I want Rich to story share if possible.
Yeah, you know, I echo some of those same sentiments. For me, it's been all about pace. Having worked on CoBlock before Gutenberg was even landing in core, it was challenging to keep up with the pace of development. Way back, everything was very manual. Every control, every color, every attribute, even color picker type stuff. Like you had to create everything individually in blocks. And it led to a ton of work to maintain and a lot of stuff to update all the time. And I think that's why a lot of folks at that point in time like started building collections because you could start reusing some of those same components that you had to build in-house to keep up to date with what Gutenberg was doing. But at the same time, all the changes and the improvements that have happened over these years have moved Gutenberg into quite a impressive building suite. I know there's still a lot of work to do, and there's always going to be a lot of work. But I always tell my team is something's always 80% there. You know, there's 20% that we can always improve and keep moving the needle on. But I would say that the pace has been a struggle. And then secondly, I like to, play on the bleeding edge of WordPress and trying to keep support with, all the new Gutenberg stuff that's in the plugin itself versus what's in core. It has been a challenge on any project I've worked on. And in some projects, we've had different solutions. Some of them even include a version of Gutenberg that we kind of opt into supporting. And some include, particularly exclude Gutenberg and just kind of stay with core. I don't prefer that method because, like I said earlier, the pace of innovation is so fast that what's in Gutenberg, even before 6.1 came out, there's already some massive improvements in some of the experience side of things that aren't out yet, but they're in the plugin. And so I like to play and figure out what those are going to be. And so it can get hard to kind of maintain support between even those two, not even counting the older versions of WordPress. But I definitely share those sentiments on that front.
I just shared the thread that you have there, Rich, about WordPress 6.1. So much of what we're talking about really was launched in 6.1. I think 6.1 really pushed it much more in everyone's view. Oh, what's your take overall on just 6.1? Is it all that it's cracked up to be? Are you excited about it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great release. There's a lot of design consistency, some controls, some of the content-only editing modes. Those are all hitting the pain points right on the head and on what things that need to be improved. 6.1.1 or maybe, the next couple of releases, even the minor ones, are going to have the same sort of improvements, the same level of effort, but in some of the writing editing improvements and some of the way you apply styles to the site, the way that the patterns open up on the sidebar, all of those are already in the Gutenberg plugin, and those are just as big, and they've already been done. So I'm getting even more excited about the next couple of releases of WordPress as we continue to push in that direction. But it's, like I said earlier a couple of times, this is moving incredibly fast. And it's not fast where everything's breaking, but it's fast where I'm jumping on the train and I'm riding this one because the way that we're innovating and some of the foundational parts that were kind of shaky to get in over the last couple of years are now solid. And now we're ramping up in that direction.
I want to share just something. Roy Seafun chimed in. He's listening in. Hey, Roy. Actually, literally, hi, Roy. But he's saying, listening in now, themes are changing. Our new theme is so minimal. It has nothing, no styles, no templates, because you don't need any of it once full site editing takes control. I love it. Allows a niche theme with many specific templates or a blank designer playground. I love the enthusiasm. I love the excitement around it. I think that sounds awesome. Let's segue into, the real meat here in terms of, looks like, Kim, are you still there? Did we lose Kim? I think we did. Hold on one second, folks. Go. Kim, you should see a co-host invite again. Let's move into opportunities. Are you back?
I am back. Sorry about that.
No worries. Let's talk about opportunities full site editing brings. I do need to clarify. I got one comment that we keep calling it full site editing. That's really the feature. The name in WordPress itself is supposed to be the site editor. So just point of clarification there. But let's talk about the site editor, talk about the feature of full site editing, what opportunities it brings with products. Kim, do you want to kick us off with that? What are you thinking? Do you have stuff you're already planning or thinking about with your products?
For sure, I'm thinking about giving people more drop-in layouts, more patterns that they can leverage that are specific, let's say a pricing table. There are a few attempts at pricing tables in the pattern directory to bundle them within your product and give people optimized pricing layouts that they can use to build better funnels in their membership site. For example, that's something that's on my mind for sure. Things are hard. We have a lot of front-end forms. We don't want to give people too much control to modify and change, and they might see a front end form and think I don't need billing zip code. That's fine. And saying, no, that is needed. That's part of your gateway validation process. So you can't get rid of that. So trying to manage what users need and want to change with what is safe for them to change. There, part of what I liked about traditional themes was that you could find one that was optimized for your use case and drop it in, and it kind of checked a lot of boxes for what you might not already know about good UX for that type of site. And it's going to take time for Site Editor to get the, you know, number of themes out there, number of patterns out there that implement those best practices so that people aren't building sites that don't really drive conversions. For example, if you're building a product site with WooCommerce, if you're building a donation site with Give, and you forget to add like a login link in the upper right area of your header or within a mobile menu, let's say, you know, people, users of your site can't use your site the way that they need to. So I think as much as we can, the opportunities like build things into the plugins that you're creating that will help people avoid, you know, shooting themselves in the foot by omitting some of these important features. For me, Rich, do you see any major opportunities with the site editor related to products?
Yeah, you know, like the site editor pushes blocks towards every aspect of the site. And I think we're all pretty aligned on that. I think there are still a lot of experience, though, that exists outside the realm of block editing that could be brought into the block context rather easily. You know, there's been some, you know, some folks dabbling into like what forms could look like or what, you know, maps, like the simple like content based blocks. But I think that there are a number of experiences that could be centered more around experiences and not blocks. So not content driven, like I need to put something on my page, but like, how do I create an experience leveraging, you know, the site editor or the block editor and try to figure out ways that help me get jobs to be done, taken care of? Like if I'm going to sell something, like what is the, what is a prime experience leveraging all this new stuff to help me sell something? Or if I'm going to, you know, run a donations campaign, like how do I leverage some, you know, a way to set up and create forms? And I know GiveWP is working and experimenting in that lane, but like leaning into that direction seems much more of the opportune area instead of the, you know, regular content blocks. I think, you know, just blocks themselves is, it's kind of, it's, I don't know if it's mature, but it, but a lot of things have been done already. So it's trying to figure out like, what are the ways to target those jobs that need to be done, like to help that site owner or site user be successful doing what they're trying to do. And that's the area I would 100% lean in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's a ton there for sure. And like I said, our experience so far in terms of the biggest opportunity we see is trying to build out a brand new way to visually build a donation form. And that really was missing for us. Like I personally was really getting tired of constantly just configuring settings and never knowing what my donation form was going to look like in the end. And being able to see it actually visually in front of me and just tweak the settings and see it how those settings impact the form directly is definitely, I think, the future. But like I said, it's a big lift. It's a heavy lift. I think there's a lot more opportunity for smaller shops to be leveraging blocks for sure. But there's also this way in which I'm concerned about just the potential for bajillions of blocks. And I think that's a little bit of what you were saying, Rich, in terms of like there's lots of other ways to leverage it besides just content blocks. But that is exactly what we're seeing, though, is just there is kind of like a race for getting the plugin with the right keywords the block with the right keywords on them. And we have all these plugins now that are just big giant libraries of blocks and things like that. I don't know. I feel like there's more there, but I'd love to see really good examples of folks who are leveraging the site editor more. Have you seen anything like that out there yet, Rich? Anybody really leveraging the site editor or experimenting with it?
No, not a lot. I think, and I don't even know if I would tie it to like the site editor, but more of like the editing experience, maybe more so. Like with what you're doing, I think it falls in that category, even though it's not necessarily the site editor. But I do think having, you know, visual direct manipulation type interfaces. And now with things, you know, with styles being referenced in theme.json, you could even pull in like what the button's supposed to look like instead of having, you know, a default style. You know, like, you know, back in the day, you would install, you know, the classic case where you install EED and out of the box, you know, it's a little rough, but the functionality is great. But like, you're going to go through and have to clean up a lot of stuff. Like you can now take those values from theme.json and plug them in right out of the box so that when you turn on EED, it looks brilliant. Like, There's a path towards that type of WordPress experience. And that's just the start. That's just like, how do you get your plugin or your product looking fine or like working fine? Then there's the, you know, like Kim was saying about like all the pattern type functionality where it's like, okay, well, maybe we have 10 basically patterns of GiveWP forms that are, or landing pages even, and you pick the one you want and then you can manipulate it from there. So it's like creating an experience where it's more personal right out of the box instead of just getting it there. And I think leaning in that direction is where we need to be.
I'd be really excited as a plugin dev to know that I had, you know, all themes had a style established that I could leverage for buttons and that they would look great. It wasn't some made up like .sc-button or some weird class that I didn't know from your theme that was using. I remember a conversation on Twitter a while back about color palettes and naming colors. And could we establish calling a color primary and secondary and action? Could we establish standards that then plugin owners could do the same thing? They could say, like, oh, well, we want to color this in this way for you. Here's how. And, you know, I don't think I'm up to date on where things are at with 6.1 enough to know how that's been, how those conversations have moved forward. But I do think an opportunity we didn't talk about yet is if you are developing a product and you see the future of this site editing experience as where WordPress is absolutely going to go, doubling down on it now means that other users who love this editing feature will like your product more. You know, it becomes a differentiator to say, I am tightly integrated. I am, you know, I provide the most functionality for this in ways that, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we were saying the same thing about other page building experiences. Like, you love using Elementor, so you should use Paid Memberships Pro. You should use GiveWP because we know we're going to work together and you won't have to relearn anything. You're going to get to keep using that favorite builder you have. So it may be too early to do that, but if you're also loving the site editing experience as a product, you know, call it out on your site, identify that you're staying up to date with it, that you want to maintain compatible with it, because users might see that as a differentiator.
I will say one of my favorite experiences, I'm a little biased, but it's still the truth. Like, one of my favorite experiences still to date with landing pages and building out with Gutenberg, it does come from Cadence. The Cadence theme, I just think, really handles those things really, really well. And Ben Rittner is the guy behind that project and already working hard on how Cadence is going to leverage full site editing really well. And I'm excited to see that evolve and change over time. But I do think that there are ways to really make the editing experience awesome and look awesome and feel awesome. And that feeling of like, oh, I just built this page out and it wasn't even that hard and it looks amazing. Like, especially when you're not a designer, it's really hard to beat. It just creates like this huge amount of product and platform loyalty. I can see for sure that if we can provide that very reliably in WordPress, it definitely is helping to make sure that there is a future for WordPress, because a lot of folks are still worried and concerned that we're losing adoption. I'm not like saying the sky is falling at all. I don't really see it that way at all. But I do think that we have to have a strong vision towards the future. And that future does have to be visual building, not just tweaking settings to see stuff rendered on the front end. So I'm on board personally there. Let's pivot over into another one we want to touch base on for everyone, which is threats that come with big WordPress core changes. We all have these experiences in one form or another. I think I want to tie this, though, as much as we can, not just to the fact that core changes are problematic for product developers, but also, like, how do you kind of prepare for that? How do you watch out in advance, and how do you manage that as these big changes come, especially from Rich and Kim? What's your perspectives there? Rich, did you and your team get all prepped for 6.1 before it was even launched, or did it take a lot to get it ready or whatnot?
It didn't take a lot to get our products ready for 6.1, but it did take, you know, staying up to date with what's going on and all the new capabilities that we could add into some of the things that we're building. It's more about, I would say, you know, one of the threats is getting out of the loop and not being able to find your footing again. You know, if you're going to play on the bleeding edge and really lean in on the future of WordPress, I think it's important to, you know, either follow the right blogs or follow the right people on Twitter, or and really stay involved even on GitHub if you can, to kind of see what's coming ahead and put some input in and really get a handle of what's changing. And really I don't think we're really doing a lot of breaking changes anymore. Sure, there are, I mean, there's incidents, there's edge cases that are happening, and there always will happen probably until we get to where, you know, a block theme really is just a JSON file and some patterns maybe. But being able to stay in tune with what's happening will really put you in a position where you can stay ahead of the curve. I would say that's pretty important. And then, you know, there's always a chance that something that you do and you create takes off and is considered for WordPress core. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it could be tough, you know, if you're leaning in on something, like if you're building like an accordion block or something, and it makes an accordion block, makes its way into core, then, you know, like that was that wasn't really a job to be done. That was a little project that you know, if everyone can benefit from that, that's a good thing. And you kind of pave it that way. I've had a few things go into Core from that sort of approach. And I think it works because you can move fast and prove out ideas before, you know, trying to navigate getting it into WordPress itself. But on that lane, I would say I wouldn't go generic. I would go, like I said earlier, like really focusing on those jobs that need to happen and lean in that direction and stay ahead of Core. That would be my approach.
Hmm. Rich, could you talk to the process of that? So as far as I know, and this will sound very, uninformed, but there's still a Gutenberg project, that's moving forward. And then there's Core's approach and development. So which are you watching more or less, or how are you staying up to date and on that bleeding edge when you talk about, staying up to date, riding it and being really double down on the trend and the movement? Are you watching one more than the other? Or are you watching both equally?
Yeah, I mean, from my POV, I'm almost exclusively following the Gutenberg project. You know, WordPress as a whole is getting a lot of improvements, but my attention is focused on what's happening on Gutenberg itself. So on the Gutenberg GitHub repo, you can follow the PRs that are going in, you can create your own issues, you can provide feedback, even design some ideas and put them all front and center for everyone to kind of review and you know, leadership picks and chooses what kind of things go into the next effort from that POV. And then using that plugin that is, added on to WordPress.org, the Gutenberg plugin, you can keep up with what's going to go into Core instead of waiting for the RC edits to land. You can get a quite ahead view just to see, how is my experience going to interact with what's coming ahead, and where are the opportunities that are either missed currently within Gutenberg that, WordPress isn't considering, or, the greater WordPress isn't going to do. And that kind of, that could create a lane for you, or you kind of feel like, okay, well, I could see WordPress heading in this direction, right? And Gutenberg's heading down this lane. I don't really, if I'm building a product that I'm trying to grow on my own, I don't really want to go in that same lane. So you can kind of see that ahead of time. But that's where I stick to find out everything related to all this new stuff.
No, thank you. That's super informative. I think for me, if I share a threat that I feel, I mentioned earlier that most of our users live in the admin for some portion of their day when they're administrating orders and managing people in different levels and looking at discount codes and all that stuff. So I'll be curious how and what happens to the admin area of WordPress as the more visual features are what's getting some focus. I would say there are still people working in the admin and trying to tackle things like the issue of notifications and things like that. I wouldn't say it's a threat to products, but I would say it's something to be concerned about. I mentioned in my show notes here about setup wizards, for example. And we have a lot of plugins I see are starting to make some common choices, but it's not because it's, a UX for the admin or a wizard built into Core WordPress. It's like WooCommerce had a good looking one. And then a few of us were like, oh, that looks good. We'll use that too. So I think if products work together on those kinds of things and work together on how the admin functions and I don't know, develop that piece of things alongside some of these site editing tools so that we have more commonality, so that we aren't all training our users on how to use a different settings screen for each of us will be interesting. I'm also seeing that with the block editor, a lot of plugins are putting little icons and little jump to my stuff kind of features. There's one for Yoast. We use a video player. I think there's one, I use Bloxy theme. There's one for the Bloxy theme. I don't know if Koblox has one. I am using Koblox on one of our sites, but it'll be interesting how plugins can leverage and plug themselves into and, potentially clutter the block editor, the editing experience for users, and what protections we can put in place so that attains that sleek, focused writing experience that users really want and like out of WordPress.
I've been looking all over Twitter a bit at different resources, but Rich, and also I'm reading right now about Matias Ventura. He's really influential in the way all of this is rolling out. So check the thread underneath our Twitter space here for all the tweets I'm sending out about those things. One, we kind of hit our time right here at 45 minutes. So I want to go around the horn. And I keep saying that. I don't even like the saying very much. Around the circle. Let's see. Okay. Take a chance. Take a moment to give our best advice for WP product shops in terms of Core and changes and the site editor. If somebody is trying to lead their product for the future and they're worried about full site editor, what are you going to tell them today, Rich?
Yeah, I would just reiterate to, stay informed, stay ahead, and think bigger. go big right now. Like this is the time where things are still shaking out and we're really kind of finding the ground, and WordPress is, you know, like I said earlier, like moving in a fast direction. Like now is the time to get going and think.
Kim.
I'll share my circle here. I would say focus on what you do well. Make sure that you know aren't distracted, especially if you've been a product for a long time. If you go deep into a hole and develop a bunch of features for Block Editor, you know, you might be missing other opportunities and other needs of your product during that time. A lot of us are very small development teams, like Matt said, 2 to 3 people directly focused on developing this form builder. That's a lot of resource to send into one section of your product. And you might not even have 2 or 3 total developers on your team. And then I would say, as you build features to help users edit their sites, don't give them so much control that they will create an unsuccessful business, an unsuccessful website, or, you know, could potentially break functionality for themselves. So just continue to, you know, be a handhold and supportive, but and not give people too much.
I was going to say something similar in the sense that most important thing is always to be listening to your customers and what they want and what they need. And they are not most likely going to be saying, I really need this to work in the site editor, or I really want you to extend this into a block in one form or another. They're most often not saying those types of things. They're going to say, I really need your form to do X. And if you can do that in a way that also works with the site editor, like in a header area or a footer sidebar or any of those things, then that's a good opportunity to try to do a both and meet your customer's need and get to know the site editor a little bit better at the same time. But generally speaking, focus is the most important thing for product owners. Focus on what's most important, chase it down, and don't get too rolled off on new fancy new things, but try to take those opportunities as they come one by one. So this has been really great. Really thankful for Rich, you being here, and for this subject. Kim, I think, put it on our roadmap. Good stuff. So thank you so much. One more shout out to the WP Minute. If you want to hear this anytime, check it out over there or on Spotify or all those other podcasting platforms. We have something upcoming next week. Kim, what are we going to be talking about next week?
Absolutely. We're going on a more business-focused topic for people who build WordPress products. We're going to talk with Jason Coleman, my partner, about budgeting and forecasting revenue expenses. So you might not be in that mindset yet, but 2023 will be here before we know it. So hopefully we can teach you some strategies and talk about how we manage finances within our product teams.
I'm looking forward to that for sure. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Hey, listener, did you like what you heard on today's episode? Be sure to say thanks to the hosts today. Find them on Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you do your social media. I'm sure they're there. Go ahead and say thanks for hanging out and providing some amazing content to you right here on the WP Minute. If you want to support the WP Minute, you can join our membership. It's a great place to find other WordPress professionals who care about WordPress news, talk about WordPress news. Hey, you can even shape the WordPress news as it goes out as a producer. Become a member at the WPMinute.com/support or buy us a digital copy, however you see fit, to support the show or just share us out on social media. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.